Blog Talk Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I did not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Internet world, welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, August 15th, 2019, and on Thursday, I do a specific Bible topical teaching, teaching the gospel and sharing God's truth with the Iranian people. Conversely, on Monday, I will do human rights, the latest issues facing the Iranian people. But here on Thursday, I want to focus in on the teaching of Scripture. Today, I have a very important topic and a question to begin our Bible study for you. How do you get into a right relationship with the Holy God of the universe? That's a big, important question. And on today's broadcast, I'm going to teach you how sinful mankind can get into a right relationship with the Holy God of the universe. Our problem is sin. We have broken God's law in thought and word and deed, but He has provided in Jesus the way back. In order to teach you on this subject this morning, I'm going to go to one of the most famous sermons in all of the Bible taught by Christ, and that is the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, Jesus is addressing the subject of salvation, righteousness, and prayer. Almsgiving, prayer, and righteousness are predominant themes in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus begins talking on the subject of fasting, and then He changes to how to pray. And it's very important in our subject this morning to answer our question, how do I get into a right relationship with God? Jesus uses prayer in this context to teach us on the most important subject in all of Scripture, and that is salvation. What he's doing in Matthew chapter 6 is dealing with the scribes and Pharisees and their erroneous teaching. They have heaped upon dozens of interpretations on God's law. They have taken the revelation of God and added their own traditions, their own rabbinic commentaries of the day. And in many ways, Jesus is correcting the corruption of God's law through their teachings. And so he starts Matthew chapter 6 by saying, don't practice your righteousness before other people in order to be seen. Who's he talking about? This is the practice of the scribes and Pharisees. He says, don't sound a trumpet when you give to the needy. As the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, they do it for the praise of others. And so Jesus is saying, here's how you are to give. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And then Jesus switches to the subject of prayer. Again, correcting the teachings of the scribes and the Pharisees and how they added and corrupted God's law. He said, when you pray, don't be like hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners, that, again, they may be seen by others. The scribes and the Pharisees loved to parade their righteousness publicly. They didn't do it with a broken, contrite heart of sin before a holy God. Instead, they wanted others to see how spiritual they were. They loved the praise of people. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, don't be like them. They've already received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. Now he goes on to say, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. They think they're heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, disciples, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And he goes on to teach the model prayer we all recognize, the Lord's Prayer, a very intimate, very short, very easy prayer. But this is how Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Now, I said that, all of that, to say this. In Luke's gospel, Jesus, again, takes on the subject of prayer in Luke chapter 18. And he gives us a very famous parable that we're all familiar with, the Pharisee and the tax collector. It's about prayer, but something much more vital than prayer. I think all of us agree that prayer is like breathing. We can't do without it very long. Our intimate fellowship with God is so important, and prayer is so rewarding, but sometimes it can be the most difficult spiritual activity. What Jesus is doing here in Luke 18 is answering the question I asked you. How do I get into a right relationship with the God of the universe? And in order to answer that question, Jesus teaches us on prayer, on lessons on how not to pray. Because in this parable, he is contrasting a false self-righteousness with true biblical repentance. A false self-righteousness with true biblical repentance. You'll see what I mean. Let me read this parable to you on lessons on how not to pray with the subject of how do I get into a right relationship with God. He begins in Luke chapter 18, verse 9. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing afar off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, Jesus says, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. There is so much riches in this short little parable. But what Jesus is doing on the subject of prayer, the lessons on how not to pray, he is introducing a subject of vital importance, and he's answering the question of how to get into a right relationship with God. Notice the context here. He told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. The major sin of that day with the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious teachers of Judaism that Jesus was confronting, was self-righteousness. The Pharisees and the scribes, like I mentioned, loved the praise of men. They loved to parade their righteousness publicly. And Jesus was saying, don't be like them, disciples. Self-righteousness is not just limited, though, to the scribes and Pharisees in this context. It is the sin today of the human race. Human beings created in the image of God are still doing their best to try to get back to God, to get back to Eden through the works of their hands, trusting in a righteousness that they themselves believe they have. This is the problem with mankind. This is the problem with humanity. We won't come to God on his terms. Instead, we develop our own religious system. We create a God in our own image. And we say, I will do it my way. And therefore, that's the problem Jesus is dealing here in this parable. The deception of self-righteousness. It's something I can do, God. It's something that I can perform. It's a ritual that I have devised. I will come to you on my terms, O God. And that was the problem with the scribes and Pharisees, trusting in themselves that they were righteous. And because of that righteousness, they looked down on others. They judged everyone by their own standard. And they treated others with contempt. Now, Jesus takes us right into the worship of the day, going to the temple to pray. What a important religious observance. And two people, he says in this parable, go to pray. One is the proud Pharisee, obviously. He is the one that has this sense of self-righteousness, this sense of accomplishment. He is proud of himself. You know, this is what the Apostle Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 3. He said, when I was a Pharisee, before I came to faith in Christ, I boasted in all that I had accomplished and keeping the law perfectly each day. And Paul goes on to say, I found out how far from the kingdom of God I was. And when I came to know Christ as my Savior, I tossed out that entire false religious system of self-righteousness. I abandoned that system to come to faith in Christ. But this Pharisee, like Paul once was, is coming to the temple. He is proud. He is proud of all that he has done. And he stands looking toward the temple, raising his eyes to heaven, raising his hands in prayer and praise. And then he begins his prayer. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. So he begins his prayer in comparison. Self-righteousness always results in comparing yourself with others. He said, look, Lord, you know me. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm certainly not an adulterer. I'm very clean. And, by the way, pointing to the tax collector, he goes, I'm not even like this tax collector. Now, the tax collectors who worked for the Roman government were despised by the Jewish people. And this tax collector, in the Pharisees' eyes, was the greatest example of the sickness of humanity. He is the worst example. And that's why the Pharisee says, look, God, you know me. I'm a good person. I'm not like this sinful tax collector. So the Pharisee is thanking God for his goodness. He is a good, obedient person. He's not an adulterer. He's not an extortioner. I'm not like this tax collector, Lord. Then he begins to tell God and give God his list of spiritual accomplishments. Well, look, Lord, you know, I fast twice a week, more than just once, twice. I give tithes of everything. I'm paying you off, God. I'm obedient. I'm a tither. I'm not like this tax collector. I don't rob and steal. I don't defame you. Look at me, Lord. And so, but the thing that is so deceiving is this Pharisee really believes in his heart that this list of accomplishments is bringing joy to the ear of God, that God is very glad to hear his prayer, that God is listening intently. But notice what happens here. But the tax collector, Jesus says, stands afar off. He doesn't stand proud like the Pharisee. He is standing a distance away. And unlike the Pharisee who gazes up into heaven, boasting of all of his accomplishments and his self-righteous activities, this tax collector not only is standing far away, but he won't even lift up his eyes to heaven. You'll notice right away that this tax collector, unlike the Pharisee, has a very strong sense of his unworthiness. He's not boasting about his accomplishments. He doesn't compare himself to anyone else. He is kneeling and will not even gaze up into heaven. His head is bowed toward the dust. He has a sense of real guilt before a holy God. And he doesn't begin his prayer thanking God for who he is, how good he is, and making a list of accomplishments and comparing himself to others. He has a very short prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Right away, we understand something about this tax collector. He is very much aware of his unworthiness before God. He has a sense of guilt. He has a heart broken over sin. And he doesn't look up to heaven with pride and self-righteousness. Instead, he beats his breast. He is aware of his sinful condition. And he doesn't pray with boasting. He simply says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He has the right estimation of his spiritual condition. And the contrast is very easy. That word merciful is the most important word in this man's prayer. He understands something about God, that God is a God of mercy. He understands something that this Pharisee doesn't understand. He understands that God has the right to judge him. He understands that he is broken in his sinfulness and that he is crying out for God's mercy. And he understands something else, that he is a sinner. The Pharisee, that word is foreign in his vocabulary. Him, a sinner? What's wrong, Lord? I'm a proud member of your religious establishment. I am proud as a Jewish person to represent your law. Look at all that I have done, God. That's the prayer of the Pharisee. But the prayer of the tax collector is quite different. And Jesus says, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Well, there is the verdict. The question was, how do I get into a right relationship with God? Well, you come like the tax collector. You come like a beggar. You come to the banquet table like a beggar, and you recognize that God is a holy God, and you cry out for his mercy. And Jesus says, because of this man's attitude, he recognizes his spiritual poverty. He recognizes his sinful condition. He comes crying out for mercy. God justified him. What does that mean? He declared him righteous. You see, the Bible says, for by keeping the law, no one will be justified in the sight of God. It's through faith alone, in Christ alone. And this man comes with that attitude. The Bible talks about justification by faith alone, that God declares a sinful man righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. And that term will be very important in the letter of Paul to the Roman church later on in the Bible. You see, Jesus is saying, God took this sinful man and exalted him from his humility. He justified him because he was broken over his sinfulness. He came asking for God's mercy instead of the Pharisee who was boasting of his self-righteousness. Now, there's a temptation in this parable to say, well, I'm not like the Pharisee. I wouldn't, you know, come to God in prayer like that. But be careful. Let's not be too harsh on the Pharisee. Because isn't it true that sometimes in our praying, we come with that same attitude, maybe seeing it a different way, and become self-centered in our praying, instead of coming worshiping the Lord and thanking him for who he is? We begin our prayer with a great list of our needs, and our prayers can tend to be self-centered like the Pharisee. And so how should we come when we pray? What is acceptable to God? Well, I think the Pharisee is certainly not the acceptable way, but I do believe the tax collector should be the way that you and I approach a holy God. Even as a Christian, we need to come with that attitude, crying out for God's mercy, coming in a humble way, bowing before a holy God. And in this parable, on prayer, Jesus is telling us how to be right with God, how to come into a right relationship with God. And he uses the example of the Pharisee as the example of how not to pray and how not to come before a holy God. And the tax collector, well, he's a lot like you and me. I have a question for you this morning. Are you on a spiritual journey? Are you searching for a right relationship with the God of the universe? Jesus would teach you this morning that the way that you discover who the God of the universe is and the way that you come into a right relationship, you come to the God of the universe in a holy God of the universe in a broken and contrite way. God says in his word that he accepts the spirit of a broken and contrite person who comes before the banquet table in heaven, if you will, and bows before the holy God, recognizing that he is a sinner, recognizing that he has broken God's law. You see, that's how you and I come. Jesus has accomplished our salvation. He offers us salvation as a gift. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man boast. So we come recognizing our spiritual poverty. We come before a holy God and accept his gift, his salvation as a gift that can never be earned. The Pharisee was doing the exact opposite. He was giving God his list of accomplishments. He was not a broken and contrite man over sin. He was a very proud, self-righteous man. But that's not the way we come. The way we come like the tax collector, like the beggar, if you will, broken over our sin. And Jesus is teaching us this parable about prayer this morning so that we understand something about Christianity. Christianity is a love relationship with God. It is not a religion. And we come like the tax collector. And when you come with the attitude of the tax collector, Jesus will say to you, you are justified. You are declared righteous by faith in Christ. That's how we come. This is the gospel. This is the good news. I want to thank you this morning for inviting me into your homes and enjoying the Bible teaching this morning. Every Monday, we talk about human rights in the Iranian situation, and on Thursday, it's a specific Bible lesson. I want to thank you so much for coming this morning to the Cross in the Desert. I will see you next Monday for the next episode of the Cross in the Desert. You have yourself a tremendous weekend. God bless you. I will see you again on Monday.
Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I did not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Cheers.